I want to speak this evening on a subject that honestly I have really failed to preach on in 28, going on 29 years in evangelism. You know, as an evangelist, you go in, you try to stir a church, you preach on a lot of different things. Like I said, I probably preach on walking with God more than anything, but you preach on sin, and you preach on hell, and you preach on, you know, the condition of our families and our homes and the condition of our nation and everything. It's sad to say, though, this one subject that should be preached on more often, I just really haven't. I alluded to it a lot in messages, and I talk about it most every day, and witness to people when I'm witnessing and soul winning and speaking with family, but I'd never really developed a message on this until just a short time ago. And the Lord began to really convict my heart about it. And you say, well, what are you going to preach on tonight, Brother Martin? I want to preach for a few moments this evening on heaven. I've said many times, it can be a pretty miserable existence if we lose sight of the destination. We got to keep our eyes fixed on where we're headed. Because that's really what it's all about. He saved us to go to be with Him forever in this wonderful place that He's called heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll kind of jump out into the message from this verse here. But we're going to be bouncing around a little bit in scriptures. But in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, it says this in verse number 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. That's a powerful verse. You know, the truth is, we hear it, we've heard it said many times, that the Bible speaks more about hell than it does about heaven. And I guess there's many reasons for that. We don't know exactly why, but I'm sure it's because God wants us to understand our condition and our need of Him. But I believe one of the reasons He doesn't speak more about heaven in the Scriptures is because we couldn't comprehend it. There's no way that our finite minds could even, and he's just got something wonderful that we're headed for and that we should all be looking forward to. And so I want to give you this little message tonight, a simple little message entitled, Seven Biblical Reasons Why I'm Looking Forward to Heaven. And I'll give you a biblical text on each one of these reasons. Though it doesn't speak a ton about heaven, it does speak about it. The verses were read just a few moments ago on heaven. But I want to give you those this evening as we close out this meeting, and hopefully it'll just encourage your heart tonight. Amen. Father, I pray that You'd bless the next few moments that we have together and spend together. Lord, I do pray that You would help us to focus tonight on heaven. It's got to be an awful, wonderful place. You sent Your Son to die so that we could be there. And Father, You've been preparing that wonderful place for a long time. And Lord, I pray that You would just encourage our hearts this evening as we think about the things that Your Scriptures tell us that we can look forward to in heaven. And Lord, I do pray that You'd challenge us too. And Father, about our gratefulness, our thankfulness, and whatever else You need to speak to our heart about, Lord, challenge us this evening. And we'll be careful to give You the glory, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Well, turn to Revelation chapter 22. I'll give you the first one. And this is kind of seven reasons here. It's not a real long message, but hopefully it will encourage you. Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 1, it says this, and I'll give you the point before I start reading. The first reason why I'm looking forward to heaven ought to be the first reason everybody's looking forward to heaven. What's that? I'm going to get to see Jesus. I'm going to get to see Jesus. That's a wonderful, wonderful thought. It says here in verse 1, and He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And boy, I love this. And there shall be no more curse. Hallelujah. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. Amen. Well, one of the greatest things about heaven, when we get there, we're going to see the one that died for us. We're going to be able to see him face to face. Boy, what a wonderful thought that's going to be, to be able to see the one that loved us so much that he would be willing to give himself for us. I'm reminded of that song that was written by a dear lady back in the middle 1800s, a young lady named Carrie Breck. And she wrote this song, and you know it, "Face to Face with Christ My Savior. Face to face, what will it be when with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ who died for me. Face to face I shall behold him far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory I shall see him by and by." What a wonderful time that's going to be. Amen. I'm also reminded of a young lady that wrote a song about it also, about that opportunity to be able to see the Lord. And this young lady was at 6 weeks of age, was blinded by a prescription that a doctor gave. And so many of you know who I'm talking about already. And she, from 6 weeks of age, had no sight, lived out her life, never able to see anything. Lived to be in her 90s, and but people will say, well, how can somebody even accomplish anything with a handicap such as that? Well, how about writing 9,000 hymns? How about writing over 2,000 poems? Get this, I don't know if you know this about her. Of course, we're talking about Fanny Crosby, but she memorized about a third of the Old Testament. Can you imagine that? Boy, if that doesn't convict your heart. But she was asked many times throughout her lifetime about this tragedy that happened to her and the prescription the doctor gave and caused her eyes to be cauterized and go blind. And people said to her, you know, I bet you wish you could talk to that doctor. And she said many times, oh, I wish I could have talked to him. And not to get on him or not to berail him or whatever. She said, no, but to thank him for the part that he played in the providence of God in my life. Because if it weren't that I was blind, I would have never accomplished the things that I accomplished. And then she said this, and also for the fact, the greatest thing about it all is when these eyes get to see for the very first time, the first thing they're going to see is my Savior face to face. Amen. And she wrote that wonderful song, "When My Life's Work Is Over and I Cross the Swelling Tide, the bright and glorious morning I shall see. I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, for his smile shall be the first to welcome me. I shall know him. I shall know him by the print of the nails in his hands." Amen. Boy, I tell you what, I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus. I don't know about you, but look back in chapter 19 of Revelation, and I love this little portion here also. It says this, and boy, this ought to encourage you. In verse number 11, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses." You know, that's going to be us. Amen. And we're going to return with him. Amen. "And on white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Amen. Boy, that's going to be a wonderful day too. Amen. Looking forward to seeing Jesus. I sure hope you are. Think about it. Heaven's going to be a wonderful place. Amen. Amen. First of all, we get to see Jesus. The second reason why I'm looking forward to heaven is almost the opposite. You say, the opposite? What do you mean, Brother Martin? Well, pardon my English, but the devil ain't going to be there. Amen. Boy, the one that has beat us down, the one that's oppressed us, the one that attempts us, the one that does all these things to us to make life as miserable as he possibly can. Hey, it's his goal and desire to try to render us useless for God. But guess what? There's coming a day that he ain't going to be there. We ain't going to have to ever worry about him again. Amen. It says in Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 10, It says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Somebody ought to say amen on that. What are you saying? Hey, he ain't going to be in heaven. Oh, he's going to go where he belongs, and he'll be there forever and ever and ever. He'll never enter those gates. It tells us over in Revelation chapter 21 there, in verse number 27, speaking of heaven, it says, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Boy, that assures it right there too. His name is not in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. He is called the father of lies. The Lord told us that in the book of John chapter 8, that he is the father of all lies. Amen. What are you saying, Brother Martin? The devil is not going to be there. Thank God for that. There's some wonderful things about heaven. The first one is that we're going to be able to see Jesus. The second one is that the devil ain't going to be there. The third one is, bear with me a minute. You'll understand as we get into it. Turn to Revelation chapter 21. The third one is simply this. Third reason why I'm looking forward to heaven is because of the things that will be no more. What do you mean? Oh, it's wonderful thinking about the things that will be no more. Well, it says here in Revelation chapter 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. Notice what verse 4 says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Guess what? No more tears in heaven. Amen. I mean, no more tears of sorrow. No more tears of, when we start thinking about all the tears, the buckets full of tears that we've shed in our lifetime because of circumstances and situations and heartaches and all that we go through. But God says there's coming a day when there'll be no more of that. He'll wipe those tears right out of our eyes. Never again to have to worry about that happening. Not only that, it goes on to say, and there shall be no more death. Amen. Glory to God. No more facing of death. No more having to deal with it anymore. Boy, we've all had our share of it. Amen. And when you have to stand beside the casket of a loved one. I hate goodbyes. I always tell people, I don't say goodbye. I talked to Brother Bruce Fry today, Brother Hickson. And I said, well, I'll see you here, there, in the air. That's what I always say. I don't say goodbye. I don't like goodbyes. Amen. But there's coming a day where there'll be no more of that. Preacher, you never have to preach another funeral. Glory to God. We won't have to deal with all that goes and all that takes place with that because there's no death there. It says not only no more death, it says neither sorrow. Boy, the Lord is very careful to point out all of these little things. What do you mean? No more tears. No more death. No more sorrow. Can we even imagine that? Can you wrap your mind around that? That you won't have to ever sorrow again. Man, that's what heaven's going to be. It's going to be a wonderful place. No more death, no more sorrow, no more tears. And then it goes on to say, nor crying. Amen. And then it says this, and neither shall there be any more pain. Glory to God. Amen. Now, of course, I'm being a little facetious there, but physical pain is something, and we deal with it a whole lot more as we get older. Amen, people? And but there's many types of pain. There's physical pain, but there's mental pain and anguish that we deal with and other pains that we have to go through in this life. But when we get to heaven, that's done away with. No more pain. Glory to God. You know, what about this one too? No more sin. Amen. Amen. We won't be capable of it. Amen. Glory to God. No more sin. Nothing to worry about. Hey, we just read over there in chapter 22. No more curse. Amen. All that's done away with. Man, there's some wonderful things that will be no more when we get to heaven. Amen. Let me give you another one here. This may be a little bit maybe not prioritized the way that it should be, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, flip over there for a moment, and I'll give you the fourth reason why I'm looking forward to heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. The fourth reason why I'm looking forward to heaven, a glorified body. Amen. Again, what is a glorified body? A glorified body is a body that cannot sin anymore. Amen. It's a body that has no more limitations. Amen. And all those things are done away with. It says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 1, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be clothed, unclothed, but clothed upon." Notice what it says, "that mortality might be swallowed up of life." Amen. Man, that's what's going to happen when we shed this old mortal body and we get that glorified body. Amen. Look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the great resurrection chapter. Notice how it puts it here in verse number 42. It says this, it says, "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body." There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. If you skip down to verse number 50, it says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." Like we said, sin can't enter there. This flesh, this mortal body can't go there. We're going to get a glorified body to be able to go there. It says in verse 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Amen. "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. What are you saying? Man, a glorified body. One that has no more limitations. One that can't sin. One that can't go through all of those things that will be no more. Amen. Speaking about that pain. Speaking about those limitations. When I was pinning these thoughts, I was thinking about, we have our youngest daughter still lives with us. We have like a mother-in-law apartment above our house, and she lives in that. She's our church secretary. And anyway, when we're home sometimes, we'll get to go out with her and maybe go out to eat or run to the store or something. And we'll ride together, of course, and I'll drive, and we'll get there, and she'll jump out, and me and Mom start getting out of the car. She'll stop and look back and say, "Well, you guys coming?" I say, "Girl, you just wait. If the Lord tarries, you're going to understand." You don't understand right now, but you will understand one day. But there's a day coming when all that's done away with. Amen. Boy, glory to God. I'm sure looking forward to it. Heaven is a wonderful place. Amen. And God's prepared it for each and every one of us. The fifth reason, I'll spend a little more time on this, because it is such a powerful thought, and it's hard for us to wrap our minds around it all, but fifth reason why I'm looking forward to heaven, Hebrews chapter 12, flip over there real quick. And I preached out of this passage the first day, but it says in chapter 12 and verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." The fifth reason why I'm looking forward to heaven is because of the great reunion that there's going to take place there. It will be a wonderful You talk about a family reunion. Whew. I used to go down to, as I told you before in my testimony, down in North Carolina, we'd have family reunions during the summertime. And, you know, all mom's 11 brothers and sisters and all of their kids and everything. But that ain't nothing compared to what we're going to have when we get to heaven one day. Man, what a reunion that's going to be. The great reunion of being able to see all the saints that have gone on before us. And of course, first of all, looking unto Jesus. So first of all, I would hope that everybody is longing for that day to see Jesus. But boy, there's a whole lot of people right in line after that. Amen. For me, first one is my mom. I shared just a little bit of my testimony. I didn't get into the depths of it, but you have no idea what my mom endured to try to keep us together and what she had to put up with and what she had to deal with. And boy, you talk about a sweet lady and a godly lady. And man, I'm sure looking forward to seeing her again. I wouldn't be in the ministry today if it weren't for my mom. I doubt I would be saved if it weren't for my mom because of what the impact that my mother had in my life. And by the way, I'm looking forward to seeing my dad too. My dad was saved. My dad made sure of his salvation even before he died, and he'll be there. And all that other stuff I talk about, and you know, all that's done away with. Amen. I'm looking forward to being able to see him again. I'm looking forward to seeing my Uncle Charlie. And you say, who's Uncle Charlie? Well, he's that leather-lunged, wind-sucking preacher from the hills of North Carolina that preached the gospel the night that I got saved. Man, I'm so thankful to him that he would, in a family reunion, obey God and stand up and preach the word of God. And God convicted the heart of a little 9-year-old boy. And I trusted Christ as my Savior. I had opportunities to go back and thank Uncle Charlie for that. And he was a quiet kind of guy. But boy, when he got up to preach, there was something unleashed in him. Of course, it was the Spirit of God. But I mean, I'm telling you, he would preach. And when God called me to preach, I struggled some with, really, is this what God wants? I talked and counseled with some of the great names of the faith that I could tell you of. And I didn't get any peace about it from anybody. You know where I went, preacher? I told my wife, I'm going to go see Uncle Charlie. We took a trip down to North Carolina. So I could drive back up in that holler. Back in the middle of nowhere where he pastored a little church there. And I asked Uncle Charlie to help me. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. And he gave me the greatest advice that he might. Because of Uncle Charlie, I went ahead and followed the Lord and did what God wanted me to do. What are you saying, man? I'm looking forward to seeing him again. I'm looking forward to seeing my mother-in-law and father-in-law again. I'm one of them guys that has these mother-in-law jokes and all this stuff. I had wonderful mother-in-law and father-in-law. Boy, they were sweet people. My mother-in-law was a godly lady. My father-in-law, boy, when I felt the call to go in the ministry, there was a lot of family members that told me I was absolutely out of my mind. I was crazy. That what are you doing, taking your family and going like I shared in my testimony but not my father-in-law. And my father-in-law was so happy. He was thrilled to death for us. We didn't have a greater prayer warrior than my father-in-law. We didn't have a greater help and support than my father-in-law. I'm looking forward to seeing him in heaven again. I'm looking forward to seeing my sister, who passed away a few years ago. She had a rough life. She had a lot of battles with a lot of different things. She died young, but I'm looking forward to seeing her in heaven again. I'm looking forward to seeing my brother-in-law and some other. You know what? I'm looking forward to seeing the Bible saints. And I don't know about you, but I think about this oft times. Man, isn't it going to be wonderful to be able to talk with those people? I mean, you think about talking to Noah. What was that like, man? Being able to talk to Joseph. I love Joseph. Being able to talk with him and being able to talk with all the other Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and being able to talk with Moses. Man, I don't know if they could recreate that, but the parting of the Red Sea and watching that take place and happen. I know what we think of. We think of Charlton Heston holding a rod out over there. That surely wasn't what it was like. I'm looking forward to meeting and seeing those. I'm looking forward to David, the sweet psalmist, and being able to talk with him. I'm looking forward to the Apostle Paul. being able to see him and talk with him. You know what? I'm looking forward to seeing those that by the grace of God, he's given me the opportunity to be able to lead to him. And they'll all be there too. Amen. Many of them have already gone on. Amen. By the way, I'm looking forward to seeing those that are going to be in heaven that I don't even know they're going to be there. What do you mean? I mean, people that witnessed to through the years or tried to witness to and you had no idea that they're going to be. Let me give you a little testimony here. I was, been in the ministry probably 5, 6 years, 7 years, I was preaching a little tiny country church in northeast or northwest Ohio, and just a real small country church. They didn't have as many people as you have here tonight, and but they promoted this revival meeting and come hear the preacher who used to be a fireman and now he's fighting the fires of hell, and you know. And so anyway, I got there and they had a bunch of visitors that night, and I preached and I got done preaching, and there was a lady that came up to me, an older lady, and she said to me, "So you were a fireman in Ann Arbor, Michigan?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am, I was." And she said, "You had to know my nephew." And I said, "Well, who is your nephew?" And she said, "Paul Barnes." Now that name wouldn't mean anything to you, but boy, as soon as she said that, I said, "Paul Barnes? Yes, I knew Paul. I mean, Paul was the kind of guy that we worked 24-hour shift, 24 on, 48 off. And so we usually worked a second job. Most guys worked a second job on their days off. Well, Paul decided if I'm going to work a second job, I'm going to work for myself. He bought a farm. And so during the summertime, we would do pickles. He had a pickle farm. And then in the fall, we did pumpkins. And Paul was just a wonderful guy, man. He's the kind of guy that give you the shirt off his back for a stranger, whoever you were. But Paul was lost as a goose in a snowstorm. I witnessed to him so many times, we'd get opportunities, especially in the fall. We'd take pumpkins and haul pumpkins all over, and I'd start talking to him about the Lord, and he'd say, "Danny, come on, you know I'm a good guy. You know God's going to let me in when I get there." I said, "Paul, it's not based on you, not based on your goodness. It's based on Jesus and His goodness, and you got to trust Him." And, "Oh, Danny, come on, you know God's going to let me in." I said, "Paul, it don't work that way." So, anyways, back to the story. She said, did you hear what happened to him?" And I had heard the year before that he had been trying to help his neighbor lady. He was mowing her grass with a tractor, one of his tractors, and it had rained that morning, and there was a little steep bench there along the side of her house, and he was going down it, and the mower started sliding, and it flipped, and he fell out of it, and the mower fell on top of him and killed him. And I said, "Yes, ma'am, I did hear what happened." And she said, I wish you could have been at the funeral." And I said, "Ma'am, I wish I could have been there too." And then she made this comment, which really puzzled me. She said, "It was so sweet." I'm thinking, Paul? And sweet funeral. And she could see it in my eyes, I know. And she said, "I bet you didn't hear." And I said, "Hear what?" She said, "Paul got saved about 6 months before he died." Man, I just sent shivers down my spine. You say, "You didn't leave the Lord." That don't matter. He's going to be in heaven one day. Amen. Man, I love the guy. I tried to witness to him. I tried to, and he's going to be there one day. Amen. What do you mean? Man, thank God for all those people that we've had the opportunity, or God's given us the chance to be able to see. God gives us these little glimpses like that. Another little glimpse. And I did my best to be a witness to all these firemen. And the Lord allowed me to lead 4 or 5 of them to the Lord while I was in. But there's one guy I tried to witness to so many times. His name was Bob Smith. We called him Smitty. And he was just, he was an old drunk, okay? And he just loved to party and all that. And him and his wife, when they retired, he moved to Las Vegas. And I used to try to witness to him and everything. And he was real friendly until I started witnessing. And it was like, no, no, no. Well, year before last, one of our firefighter buddies passed away, and I always try to go back for things like that. I went to the funeral, and I have some tracks made up and with my name on it and all that, and I pass tracks out when I'm around them and all that. And so I went there thinking maybe I'll see somebody. I get there, and I go through the viewing line, and I step off to the side, and all of a sudden I look, and here comes Smitty. I haven't seen him in 25 years. And he comes walking up to the casket there by himself, and Now, Smitty's wife had gotten sick and had cancer and all that, and she ended up passing away. And so I thought, man, I got to talk to Smitty. So I go over there, and after he gets through the line and everything, and I walk up, and he saw me, and in the fire department, they call me Danny, and he said, Danny, and he gave me a big hug, and I said, Smitty, man, how are you doing? And he said, Danny, I'm doing good. And I said, well, good, praise the Lord. I said, you know, I prayed for you. I prayed for your wife. And he said, thanks, Danny. I appreciate that greatly. And he said, hey, you're not going to believe it. I said, what? He said, he patted me on the stomach and he said, I've been going to church. And I said, you've been going to church? I said, really? I said, what happened? He said, well, I moved back after my wife died. And he said, I met this gal. And this gal, I wanted to ask her out on a date, and she said, well, if you want to go with me on a date, you got to come to my church. And he said, I liked her, so I went to the church, and he said, and man, I've been going to, you know, to church with her, and he said, we ended up getting married, and I said, I'm going to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I said, whoa, wait a minute, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I said, where are you going to church? He said, Chelsea. And I said, are you going to, and I named the name of a really good church there, Faith Baptist Church. And he said, yeah. I said, Smitty, did you get saved? He said, I sure did. I said, praise the Lord. Man, this was a drunken man who lived his life just for pleasure and for, but he's going to be in heaven one day too now. What are you saying? Man, heaven's going to be a wonderful place. Man, it's going to be one great reunion when we get there. Amen? And I'm sure looking forward to it. And I know many that are sitting here today, you're thinking of loved ones, and it's going to be a sweet place. It's going to be a wonderful place. Amen? Let me say sixth reason why I'm looking forward to going to heaven is because it's going to be beyond what we can fathom. And I already mentioned that earlier, but look back in Isaiah chapter 64, just one verse there. It is, I guess you'd say, the like verse, the sister verse to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. But in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse number 4, it says this. I can get my page turned here. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Amen. Man, are you looking forward to it? We can't even wrap our mind around how wonderful it's going to be, how beautiful it'll be. Again, heaven's a wonderful place. The seventh reason why I'm looking forward to heaven is because it's eternal. Amen. No ending. When we get there, it's going to be an eternal place where we're going to. Look with me. I'd say if there's a passage in the Scriptures that gets a bad rap, it's this passage of Scripture. Why? Because we tend to only recite it or read it or quote it at a graveside. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, man, it's a wonderful passage. And notice what it says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 13. It says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. My wife keeps telling me that's the way we're going to go. And I hope so. What do you mean by the uppertaker, not the undertaker? Amen? And I'm beginning to believe it more and more. But it says, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What do you mean? It's eternal. We're going to be there forever. And it says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. Man, what a wonderful place it's going to be. An eternal place. As I said, no more goodbyes. No more sadness. No more sorrow. No more heartaches. No more. A wonderful time of just worshiping our God and our Savior the way they deserve to be worshiped. You know, another thing it says in Revelation chapter 10 and verse 5 and 6, it says that the angel declared that there would be time no more. No more time. I mean, we can throw these clocks out. We won't operate and we won't work on time. For some people, that might be the best thing you've heard all night. Say, what do you mean by that? You're never going to be late again. Amen. But there's many other reasons why I'm looking forward to heaven. Then that's when my faith is going to become sight. Amen. The older I get, the more I look forward to it. It is going to be the time when we'll be able to worship the one that deserves it, the way he deserves it. We talk a lot about heaven. We talk a lot about other things too. But it's just so important that we keep our focus set, that we don't lose sight of the destination. All this is, what we're doing now is because we've got a wonderful God, a loving Father that has prepared a wonderful place for us to go to. And we need to keep a heart set on that. There's an old song that says, there's a land that is fairer than day. By faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by. Oh, what a wonderful place it's going to be. I think of that song, Beulah Land. I'm kind of homesick. No, I'm a lot homesick. I'm really looking forward to it. I know when you're young, you don't think about things like that, but I'm telling you, I'm homesick for that country, that land. Amen. What about you tonight? You say, why are you preaching a message like this, Brother Martin? Just to encourage us. Just to refocus. Maybe we ought to come to an altar tonight and just say, Lord, forgive me for not staying focused on that. I tell you what, it'd keep us out of a whole lot of other problems if we'd stay focused on it. But how many of you believe that heaven's real and that you're going to get to go there one day? Okay, I'm setting you up. Here's really the thrust of the message. That if you really believe it's real and such a wonderful place, who have you told about it this week? That's like having cancer and getting a cure for it and never letting anybody else know what that cure is. He's saying, man, we've got the cure for sin. It's Jesus. We've got a wonderful place called heaven that we're going to. Why aren't we sharing it with other people? Well, God break our heart. Get us to get to the place where we're faithfully, openly sharing the gospel with people. Father, I thank you for the opportunity.